This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
He's a American man.
Yes, we do. Oh, that is Starrcade 1994.
Here we go!
you know, guys, like, reflecting on all the great wrestling we saw last month and this month, and, you know, when the network comes along, all the great pay-per-views we're going to see, I didn't think I would be this depressed talking about WCW. Because, like we talked about earlier, you think about the what-ifs. What if Hogan didn't come in? What if Honky Tonk Man broke his leg 6 months before and was injured? What if Brutus Beefcake was in that parasailing accident and didn't come out of a coma? You know, you just think of all the what ifs and what could have been for this company, and so depressing.
All right, well, we start with highlights of Randy Savage's debut on Saturday night. Gives a good tease for Starrcade involvement with the classic, "I'm either going to shake his hand or I'm going to slap him right in the face." He wants to meet with Hogan to settle their long-standing issues. Did you like the tease of Savage here? Or would you have preferred him to be kind of a surprise debut at Starrcade?
I think he should have definitely been a surprise at Starrcade. This is another reason why WCW just doesn't treat this show the way they should. This is their WrestleMania, and I don't think you should have seen Savage until he came out that night. I don't like the fact that he came out.
See, I kind of disagree, though. Don't you want to hype up his debut and kind of build to it? What do you think, Will?
I have mixed feelings on that. If you want a surprise, then you keep him out. If you have Savage there, then he needs to be built up over the entire month. Savage, 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 Savage.
Well, you wouldn't have to worry about having to build Savage up if you had a main event that didn't suck ass.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
But you understand what I'm saying, though, right? Like,
yeah,
if
absolutely,
you want him to be
course.
A surprise, then keep him as a surprise where you have no ideas even with the company.
You're right.
If you're going to have him help sell pay-per-views, then, you know, you need to do that throughout the month, you know, or whatever. It's legally possible. I don't know what the legal ramifications were. How long had he been out of WWF by this time?
He left in late October.
Late October. So not long. Month and a half.
So, I mean, maybe there were, you know, because maybe there was still a no-compete at that time.
Possible. You know? I thought his contract was just up, though, and he didn't renew. Like, I don't think he quit or walked.
No, he definitely didn't quit or walk. I think his contract was up. And
remember, Vince gave him the nice send-off on Raw.
Right, I
we wished him, best of luck and all that. So, it definitely seemed to me as a kid, it felt like the tide was turning to WCW. Like, all these guys I grew up watching were all jumping ship. And then when Savage went, it was kind of like, oh, another big blow as a fan of the WWF at the time. what would be a theme to the show? We have Hogan winning the Pro Wrestling Illustrated Wrestler of the Year Award. And we'll see that throughout the rest of the show.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead, Scott. Why don't you rant?
Oh, my God. This is the worst schlocky pandering shit that I've ever seen in my life. This poser awards with Apter there and all the... Oh, my God. Just so terrible. So bad. I can't believe PWI just caved like whores for
I
WCW.
Agree. They rolled right into bed with WCW.
Oh, my God. They were porking him in the ass from the beginning. Terrible.
And to be fair, we really don't know what financial shape PWI was in at the time either. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they got an infusion of cash or something. Who knows?
I don't know. I mean,
you're right. I agree with everything you say. This is the worst of the worst pandering bullshit, but I don't know what the backstory is.
No, I'm just saying, I don't know how they're... I mean, we're talking... The wrestler, Inside Wrestling, PWI. I thought circulation was still decent in the 90s. I thought, anyway. I mean, you might be right. You might be right, Will. They might have thrown a little scratch their way. I wouldn't deny that. But this was just so schlocky and, oh, God, it was just so bad. How do you give a guy Wrestler of the Year for being there 6 friggin' months and wrestling 3 matches? Just so bad. So bad. Oh, my God. Just
terrible. Think of all the guys we've seen, not that PWI gives a shit, but the guys we've seen.
Legit plain.
Right. Regal, bad.
Regal should have easily. If you're
Dustin
not, if you're
Rhodes,
not gonna,
Arn,
right, if you're not gonna pick
Bret Hart, gonna, Owen right. Hart,
Bret Hart, Owen Hart. You know, I mean, just so bad. Bulldog, Neidhart, whatever. Who cares? Diesel. Well, I mean, geez.
Think about all the Regal matches we didn't talk about. The right. Flair, Duchess of Mark, what was it? The Cup, where they did that 5 week rounds
right.
match.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Regal Zbyszko feud on TV yes. with like the match of the year contender from Saturday night, plus like the great pro brawl, plus the clash match. Like, look at all the matches that Regal had that we didn't review. You know, that were still great. Just Johnny B. Badd opening up my eyes, right? Just out of the blue. Steve Austin, this huge workhorse for so much of the year. Y'all mentioned Bret and Owen. And, you know, I don't know how much of that aired on TV or how many great Bret matches aired on TV. Was the Yoko, I'm sorry, not the Yoko. Yeah, the Yoko Cage matches. Was that 94?
Or that was 93. Early?
Okay. Well, what about the 1-2-3 Kid match?
That was 94.
Okay. So yeah. We have two clear match of the year contenders with Bret, right? With the Owen match and then the...
he had his match with the Quebecers, too, with the Rumble, kid. Which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
SummerSlam Cage, I know it's a pretty divisive match, but still.
Yeah, I'm not a fan, but you know, I thought the SummerSlam... Oh, no, it was the ladder match that was the year after. Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah, so but either way, right? I mean, you have people who have legitimate claims to Wrestler of the Year, and I agree, man. Flair could have been your Wrestler of the Year. He's right there. Give it to Flair as your send-off. Retired wrestler Ric Flair, here's your send-off. You know?
Should have gone to Regal.
Yeah, no, I agree from a reality.
Well, if you're gonna rig it with a WCW guy,
Flair,
then yeah, it would have been Flair or Regal, in my opinion.
Flair was pretty fucking great this year too.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, all right,
but
yep.
You know.
Depressing.
All right. Well, yeah, another very long open to this show. We get that bullshit. We see Santa Claus walking around and it's for another like 10 minutes before the opener. And then when it finally happens, we get Vader Duggan, which I thought was an interesting match. Duggan's still pretty over. Vader's in a holding pattern before his world title feud. Duggan gets to a hot start, aggressive, going right at Vader, beating him around, tries a back elbow off the middle rope, which is crazy. Vader stiffs him a bit. Duggan gets a great power slam and a visual pinfall, and I thought the finish was good. I thought it was a really fun match. Just one of my favorite non-UWF Mid-South Duggan matches I've ever seen. Just really beat the crap out of each other, and I like Duggan's yep. promo after as well.
The Duggan promo, see, that promo, JR and Will, is exactly what I was talking about earlier. He didn't do these kind of promos in WWF. He'd have the, you know, his stand-up promos would be either a Mean Gene or be behind that really ugly-looking logo thing with his weird eye and his drooling and spitting and boogers and just absolute disgusting nonsense. He gets to WCW and suddenly his promos are focused. Yeah, he's got the energy, the tough guy, the oh, and all that crap. But at least the promo's focused. This is the Duggan apparently that I was not seeing in Mid-South all those years. And instead, I was seeing the snot-blowing buffoon for 7 years. But not this time. Now I'm seeing a very focused Duggan and a guy who really, you know, put over his matches and put over his opponents instead of just being a big goof. And I like this match. It was a real – this is a good essence for that I agree with you about, Will, about a great brawler. And he really took it to another – now here's a guy, like I was saying earlier, Will, here's a guy that's right in Vader's wheelhouse. Just a big hoss. You know what I mean? That goes right in line with him.
It's two bulls meeting up and just going head to head is right. what it was.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Yep.
What do you think of this one, Will?
I agree with you, man. I thought you nailed it. Really fun match. Just two guys beating the shit out of each other. And hey, Duggan can stiff with the best of them, man. Mm-hmm. And he's not a little bitch. He's not gonna cry about getting hit hard either. So you know, I liked it. I thought this was a great way to start the pay-per-view off. And it almost makes you depressed with the Steve Austin thing.
Yeah.
Because I've just seen two fun Duggan matches with this one and the one before. And you just kind of wish they would have gotten them introduced in the company off on the right foot. And they started off on the wrong foot.
Well, speaking of wrong foot and people who want to cry... The Butcher cuts a promo that is just so fucking lame and dated.
Oh, my God. Terrible.
Almost feels just as bad as Honky at this point. Just,
oh man,
just not good for the main event of Starrcade.
Is this where he pulls out, they pull out the tombstone, and is that the one? Is that later on?
Yeah, they got here.
Where they pull the fake tombstone where it says rest in agony.
Awful. This is terrible.
Brutal. Just so bad.
All right, so next up, Scott, we have you can rejoice the official debut of Jean-Paul Levesque taking on Das Wunderkind, Alex Wright. A good battle of youngsters. I thought Jean-Paul had some weird rock bed music. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, that was hideous. Whatever that was they were playing. That was brutal.
I think he had a good look. They put him over pretty strong out of the gate. They talk about a potential Regal Jean-Paul team. Regal, I thought, had lost a lot of momentum at this point, too, coming off that loss to Bad. The crowd was quiet here. Really, maybe the quietest, most basic pay-per-view match of this whole stretch in 1994. And this isn't to bash them, two young guys, but the crowd was very quiet. Match picks up when JPL turns to brawling, explodes with some offense, and then Wright hits a quick comeback and gets the win. I thought crowd kind of appreciated it and turned around on the match by the end of it. Scott, were you okay with Wright going over here?
No, I'm just kidding. You know, what? At the time, I had no idea who he was, who Jean-Paul Levesque would become. So at the time, I just it was like, all right, it was two good young guys. I thought there was a lot of rest holds, but I thought the match was fine. I really thought that this match, though, in particular, maybe not the in-ring part, but I really thought Tony and Bobby's chemistry in this match, talking about both guys very fairly. Like, when Bobby wants to be objective and down the middle, he can be. And I think he was in this match. I was really focusing on the commentary in this match. And they really did have a good, like, rapport, talking about both guys, and how they're both young. I mean, obviously, Bobby's pulling for Jean-Paul Levesque, but the commentary was really good. I thought it was a good match. I didn't really care about either way who went over. They obviously saw something in Alex Wright, I thought it was fine. I thought the match worked well.
What do you think?
Not great, but well.
I thought this was an Alex Wright highlight reel, in the sense that I think Wright brought so much more for a young guy who looked, he looked more hungry. You know, I think, be fair to Hunter, if Wright's the face in the match, you give him the high spots. But the thing that stood out the most about Jean-Paul the most were those, like, super cowlicks he was rocking. His hair is wild, man.
Yeah.
You know, just wild. And he does that stupid fucking bow at the beginning, which makes me roll my eyes. I don't know, man. I almost feel like Alex Wright should have joined the clique. You know?
It's too bad we're not continuing on through him, but maybe we'll live it through where the big boys play. But Wright,
Wright's
an interesting guy.
Alex Wright and Stephanie hooking up. they could dance on TV. That'd be cool.
Oh boy. All right. Let's get to our next match.
Hold on. And I do want to say that even though Jean-Paul does not have a worse elbow drop than Booker T, he may have a worse elbow drop than CM Punk. I'm just saying, he had a pretty bad elbow drop in this match. But I like the match as a whole, because I think Wright really brought a lot to the table. All right, next match.
All right, next match, and what I was really hyped for heading in, because these are two of our MVPs of the year, Johnny B. Badd and Arn Anderson, was supposed to be the Honky Tonk Man, and he kind of gets buried on commentary a bit, saying he basically chickened out. Arn replaces him, and this is where Honky, I believe, refused the job and walked out of the company. So a waste of three months. What a waste of time, though. We had to deal with him and Johnny B. Badd. We had to deal with that bullshit music video. Whatever. Huge development here for Johnny B. Badd, I thought. This is a good match, but it felt like it could have been way more. It felt rushed. You could tell they tossed it together at the last minute. They needed some more time. Badd gets a nice win over Arn, which looked good on the resume, but at 12 minutes, they felt like they were just kind of getting going, and I thought this was a little bit disappointing, Will.
Well, I think it's disappointing in that you wanted more, but I thought what they did was good.
Right. I felt let down that, like, to me, these two guys had been such a big part of 94, to get them clashing at the end of the year, felt like it should have been like a great, like, 20-minute brawl. Yeah. Well, not brawl, a 20-minute war, and instead, we kind of get like the appetizer to a main course that we never eat.
I'll agree with that, but I will say I do not blame the wrestlers at all. I think, one, the crowd was really dead for this match.
Yeah.
So where did this take place?
Nashville.
Okay, I don't know why they were dead for it, but they were, and that's a shame because there were some really great spots in this. I really love the Spine Buster where, you know, spot where it looked like Bad was going to kind of like take over and do some of his high spots, and Arn breaks out that spine buster. And then later on, Johnny B. Bad tries to go for a monkey flip, but Arn just sidesteps it and just drops the big elbow on him. And I thought there were some great counters by both men, and I thought the finish was lame, the quick roll up. Not a great finish, but I thought it was good stuff. But I agree with you, it's below all the high-end stuff Bad was doing earlier on, you know? But I thought it was fine. I'm still not upset with any match on this show so far.
What did you think of this one, Scott?
It was rushed. I think with some time of preparation, I think this would have been a really, really good match. But because, you know, we had to, you know, Honky's ego got in the way, get a grip. That this definitely, I agree with you, JR, didn't have the build it could have had. Disappointing, because this is a match I really would have enjoyed and anticipated if we had a build, and we just didn't. So it was disappointing.
All right. So up next, we have the reemergence of Harlem Heat for the first time on pay-per-view in quite a while. And they have a match here with the Face Nasty Boys. Sensua Sherry is no longer Sensua Sherry. She had left, obviously, Ric Flair retired at Halloween Havoc, needed a new meal ticket. She's now Sister Sherry, the secret on the phone, if you remember the whole gimmick there. So the Nasty Boys win the PWI Tag Team of the Year. They get the awards. I'm not going to grant them Tag Team of the Year in all of wrestling. Do you feel like they were WCW's Tag Team of the Year, Scott?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I think they were the most consistent of any of the tag teams in the company. As I said earlier, I think the tag team division in WCW that year was a little shaky, kind of like WWF would be 2 years later. Were they the best tag team all around? I'm not even saying this just because you're here, JR, but I, you know, you can throw the Quebecers in there.
Well, even the Head Shrinkers had a
pretty good year in 94. And the Head Shrinkers too. Yeah, yep. Dudes with Attitudes. No, that's following year. I think that they were definitely the team in WCW, most consistent throughout 1994.
What about you, Will?
I don't know. I'm just not a fan of them.
You think Pretty Wonderful more than them?
I kind of liked Pretty Wonderful more than I liked them. Can I go with the one-time tag team of Dusty and Dustin?
Sure.
I mean, it led to a great War Games. They had the great match on the Clash. Can I just use them?
So now what happened to Pretty Wonderful? Did they lose? When did they lose the tag titles?
I don't know, because Super Brawl 5 is Roma's last match.
Right.
Because that's when he gets fired for fucking with Alex Wright. So they must have... Let me check the...
I got it here. They lost them to...
When was he the Horseman? When was he the Horseman?
93.
Okay.
They lost them to Stars and Stripes at the Clash in November, and then Stars and Stripes lost them to Harlem Heat, which did not air until January. So at this show, Stars and Stripes are the tag champions.
Yeah, that's right. It says it on the thing here.
Even though Harlem Heat were technically... Yeah, they were technically the champions, but they hadn't aired yet. So you get a basic brawl. Nasty Boys dominate early. Methodical. I thought it just kind of went through the paces. Harlem Heat blatantly cheat. I thought they should have given some of the time in this one to Arn and Johnny. Sherry really pushed as a difference maker, but she screws up the match. Kind of a dumb finish. The feud continues. Nothing. I mean, I didn't really care for this at all. Harlem Heat hasn't really improved too much as of yet. We haven't really seen much out of them. And the Nasties again in the face roll when they're not having a wild brawl. Leave a lot to be desired. This match went 18 minutes, which is just way too long for these two teams at this point.
I can't believe that they held a title change for like 5 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, in the closet. Isn't that weird?
Very it's weird. Like, well, I mean, that was
that's
kind of
WCW
style.
For you, man.
I mean, WWF would hold it for what, maybe a week? I mean, how long was it between when Kerry Von Erich jobbed to Mr. Perfect and we saw it on TV? It was what, maybe a week and a half tops? I mean, this was like... I mean, it happened on December 8th, and they didn't air it until January 14th.
Yeah, that's a long
time.
Wow,
that's a big gap.
Especially to go through a major pay-per-view, and you have the team that won the titles on the pay-per-view without the titles.
Yeah, I know. It's really weird.
Which is weird.
No, man, this is rough. This is I thought this was dog shit. Maybe the worst tag we had seen up to this point.
I would agree with that.
I don't think there's a worse one. I mean, guys, this is your Harlem Heat heat section. Okay? Are you ready for this? Stevie Ray locks in a nerve hold. Tags in Booker, who locks in a chin lock. And these are like 2 or 3 minutes with like no working in here. I don't mind a good rest hold as long as they're working it, you know, and someone's moving or grabbing something or trying to rip a tooth out or something. Give me something. And that's followed by the Booker T chin lock's followed by a Stevie Ray bear hug, which is followed by a Booker T bear hug. I mean, this match would just not end. And then you put a DQ finish on top of a shitty match. God, this was bad. And the Nasties didn't look good either. I don't care. They sucked. Get this off my TV. This is horrible.
Well, we go from horrible to even more peculiar. Sting. Well, I mean, this is the most
horrible. This sucked too.
Yeah, but it might be the most obvious. At least this one kind of made sense. He wins PWI's most popular wrestler. Again, clear that WCW and PWI are hooking up at this point. And these segments are just way too drawn out. This should have been TV stuff at the most, and maybe like a quick 1 minute package of all of them. All right. Up next, we have Kevin Sullivan and Mr. T. T kind of still backing up Hogan. This is really an extension of that feud. T kind of odd wearing his referee ring gear, which is bizarre.
I know.
I thought he looked like a prisoner. I did.
It was a weird look. He tries
sure, to Clubber Lang stuff.
He tries to box early. Santa Claus is actually Evad Sullivan coming out in that never-ending feud. Blatant and obvious finish to this brawl. Post-match beatdown isn't bad, but Sullivan lost again. Makes no sense with this push with the Hogan feud going on to put T over him and more Dave bullshit. Just a complete garbage match.
I agree. Not much to say here. Pretty awful. Yeah,
I think this match made Mr. T look so fucking stupid that he could not get his shirt off for like 5 minutes.
And the match is only 4 minutes.
Exactly. Worse. Yeah. Well, you know what I mean. Like, it felt like 20 because this was just so
fucking. Was Sullivan booking by this point yet? Do we know?
I don't know.
Isn't there? This is a thread on PWO somewhere, isn't it? With a lineage of WCW bookers, we'll have to consult.
Yeah, I'm the wrong guy to ask about history, man. Uh-huh. I really am.
Fuck it, are you? All right. Up next, we have.
I'm not really good for anything, honestly. You know.
All right, up next we have Sting versus Avalanche, John Tenta's pay-per-view debut. I didn't mind the Faces of Fear concept. It was kind of an odd group. Just weird to have Butcher fucking be the head guy, the head dog of this whole thing. Sting positioned really as 1A to Hogan. Still just a slight notch below, but cool to see him kind of get Hogan's back in this feud. I like this matchup. I thought it played to Sting's strengths. I thought it had good psychology. Sting kept trying to chop him down. Avalanche wouldn't go off his feet. I thought Avalanche was pretty good in his control segment, kept cutting off Sting's comebacks. Sting finally gets the hot comeback, knocks him down and slams him, and then Hogan comes out and makes a save. We get another lame finish on the biggest show of the year. And you could tell the Hogan WWF-style booking influence over these last two pay-per-views. All the countouts and DQs and dusty Absolutely. Finishes we've had have just completely butchered these pay-per-views, no pun intended again. But I liked this match until the finish.
I'm completely with you, man. I thought this was great. I don't know if y'all know this, but John Tenta worked in All Japan Wrestling
yep.
in 1989. Mm-hmm. And he's a former sumo wrestler, too.
Right.
And he was great in 1989. Like, huge, just powerhouse. Could just lay it in with the best of them. And he's one of those guys I kind of want to, like, re-examine, you know, where I want to kind of revisit some of his career. Because I'm with you, JR. I like this match, too.
Yeah.
And I was not expect. I had heard so many bad things about this match that I didn't expect to like it. And I liked it, you know. I think they worked the sleeper hold a little too long, you know. But I love the headlock spot, you know, where Tenta has Sting in the headlock. And so what does Sting do? He had already started chopping the tree down earlier. And so he's like, hey, I'm going to hit those legs, man. And it was just the perfect position for him to just keep chopping that tree
yep.
to get out of that sleeper. Mm. The big power slams by Tenta, Sting hitting some nice big splashes. Man, I'm with you, man. I thought the match was really fun up until another dog shit stupid finish.
What did you think, Scott?
Sting should have won this match clean. Easy. No doubt about it. Yes. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I think
the match itself is really good.
He could have taken the
loss. And Hogan should have been nowhere near the match. He had a
absolutely. That pissed me off too. I fucking hate when main eventers come on camera before the main event match. I fucking hate that. But you know Hogan, he's got a glom on everybody, and you can tell that he was probably getting uncomfortable that Sting was probably still more popular in the company at that moment. So he was probably siphoning some of his heat. But I don't understand why Sting didn't win this match. Again, it's my continued defending of why Sting wanted to stay in this company. I mean, we'll talk more about it after the next match. But
told you, brother, stupidity.
I just don't understand why he didn't win this match clean. What's the point of look, JR, just like you, no one's as big a John Tenta fan as you and I are, but there was no need for him to have to, you know, not job here. Very, really stupid.
Well not only great, that, though. Not only that, sorry, Scott. Not only that, but you had Kevin Sullivan. They already did the ref bump. Just do some miscommunication spot.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then blame it on the miscommunication. I mean, you already decided, you know, with the Kevin Sullivan interference and the ref bump, you weren't going to do a clean finish, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't really hurt him. It doesn't really affect him. I don't know, man. Just stupid shit.
I don't
shit.
Either. Really pissed me off. Sting should have won this clean.
All right, well, the things get worse here.
Ugh.
As it is main event time, Hulk Hogan defending the World Heavyweight title versus...
How can it get any worse?
The man who butchered a friendship, the Butcher. A terrible, sad Starrcade main event. I thought it was lame, had no heat, no believability.
Nope.
I thought it was a decent storyline, but just the wrong place and the wrong guys. Butcher's dated and old. Stomping on Hogan's shirt like the Hillbillies in 1986, stomping on Jesse Ventura's hat. It was just so fucking stupid.
It is stupid.
Then you get the big buffer intros, and then they start Hogan's music again in the pyro.
Yes, what the fuck was that?
Well, what's going on
with
this
mess?
Oh, my God.
I mean, why is Michael Buffer explaining the entire storyline? It's like he's trying to read the whole thing over again. Oh, my God.
I thought
a train wreck.
I thought Heenan did his best here to push Butcher, was always in Hogan's shadow. Like, they were really working to get this over. It's just Butcher had no believability in the role. No one could actually buy that he could beat this man. And nope. Tony tried to take a different slant, saying Butcher just wanted to destroy Hogan, didn't care about winning the title. But it just wasn't believable. It was a bad match. Paint by numbers, straight out of the 80s.
Yeah.
I thought Savage's appearance had way more interest than the actual match itself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think Savage should have been a heel? Do you think the face side was too stacked now with Hogan, Sting, and Savage?
No. At the moment, I didn't have a problem with Sting as the – or as Sting. I still have him on my mind. Savage as the face, because you didn't want to overshadow Vader as the number one contender
for the
world title. I was okay with Savage as a babyface, because it's not totally overshadowed. I mean, you do have Sting, but, you know, Sting was in the mid-card.
It's just without Vader, when you take Vader out a little bit, because he hasn't really elevated yet, Hogan, Sting, and Savage versus the Faces of Fear is like such a lopsided leveling off. Will, what did you think of the match, and what did you think of Savage's role?
I have to look at other Starrcade main events. I think this might be the worst Starrcade main
easily,
event.
Easily, hands down.
I don't know, man, because you still got to remember there was a Vince Russo era that had Starrcade.
I think this is still worse than whatever we get then. This is
what was the show where Hogan and Savage single-handedly defeat the entire Dungeon of Doom? Wasn't that a Starrcade main event as well?
No, that was Uncensored.
Okay. So, okay. I don't know. This was by far one of the worst fucking matches I've ever seen in my life.
This is the main event of fucking Starrcade, this match. Oh, my God.
I mean, dude, Beefcake goes from a 4-minute nerf hold into a 3-minute sleeper. Eye rakes. Chokes. I think he was doing so many back rakes in this match that he was going for a world's record. Like, that he thought Guinness would give him a little plaque for the most back rakes in a wrestling match. It was just atrocious.
It was brutal. I mean, how do you not either do the Hogan Flair cage match here or Hogan Vader here? I mean, how did they let him talk them into having Brutus fucking Beefcake main event Starrcade?
No, I agree. It's insane. And to add to that, another DQ finish.
Brutal.
Just what the fuck? I don't know.
No,
he pinned him. He pinned him with a leg drop.
Yeah.
He did pin him.
Oh, man.
Look, if they couldn't even make this match clean, oh, my God.
No, they had to pin
him. No, I missed it because... I mean, I must have been typing up my thoughts or something, because all I remember are the Faces of Fear running down.
It breaks down quick afterwards. They're in there like immediately, but and I think Butcher even kind of kicks up quick. But Hogan did get the pin.
Disaster.
Man, yeah, just okay. I was like, just like flabbergasted. I was like, look at all the great shows you and I have talked about. You guys, I mean, we've talked about Regal, Bad, Austin, Pillman early on. You know, Dustin, Arn, Funk, War Games, Vader, Boss Man early on. Sting had great matches. Flair, Steamboat. And we get this dog shit.
Unbelievable. Brutal.
Just absolutely, I mean, brutal. I mean, between this, the worst fucking tag team match of all time, the worst guest appearance in a wrestling match of all time. Why didn't they have Kevin Federline, like a 12-year-old Kevin Federline out there?
Oh, JR would have been all over that.
Love K-Fed.
It would have been better.
This the only thing that salvages this outside of the lame, awful celebration backstage where guys are pretending to give a shit.
Oh my God, that was terrible.
Vader comes in and is just fantastic, steals the show, has an awesome confrontation.
Yeah.
And Scott, it's funny you mentioned Clubber Lang before, because this reminded me exactly of that. Like, this is fucking legit monster beast coming into this old fucking loser champion. This is getting in his face, calling him out. Fucking with all the faces. He tries to attack Hogan. He keeps running at him and shaking everyone off. And all the
Hogan starts with it, though. Hogan pushes him first. Yeah. Hogan gets all frazzled and pushes him first.
Vader was just fantastic here and really it really whet the appetite to where we're not going to do it, but I almost want to continue as a 95 just to see the Hogan Vader feud.
Well, honestly, and you know what makes me mad? I'm about to say it. They do, of course, wrestle Super Brawl 5, and Vader should have won the title. Vader should have won the title right there. He should have destroyed Hogan.
Yeah.
And you really would have got a great feud.
Well, that would have been the Clubber Lang. He comes in, murders Hogan, and then Hogan fights his way back and gets the title. But
exactly.
But that's a story for another day. So Starrcade in the books. Promotion feels completely different from when we started a Super Brawl to when we end here. It's basically a whole new roster, a whole new style. Let's quickly do some awards, guys. Who's your MVP of the year? Has it changed since our midway point, Will?
Man, I don't know. Because you still have Johnny B. Badd kicking ass, right? You still have Steve Austin kicking ass early on, but then like in these last two shows, you know, Johnny B. Badd's there, but then he has the Honky Tonk Man match that you take him. I think consistently, right, like through the end, it's Vader.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
But I mean Regal, like, man, if Regal was just on these last two shows to like kind of give us some high-end stuff, Regal, without a doubt.
I mean, yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I have to look just at the TV matches. Like, I don't want to just say Vader or Flair or whoever without seeing, because really right now
look at it just from a pay-per-view point of view.
Yeah, man. I think if you're going to go from beginning to end, I'll go Vader. Yeah. But having said that, Regal is the guy I enjoyed the most from start to finish. So
I think Regal, Dustin, Arn, all in the conversation.
Yeah. Yes.
I think I have to go Vader too, though. I feel like he was the most consistent on every pay-per-view, and I guess in a way you have to give a nod to Boss Man because he fought him on every show. But he had a pretty good match with Flair to open the year, and he closes the year as the highlight of Starrcade, is bursting in. He has the best match of the night with Duggan, and then his performance at the end in this promo is fantastic. So I think Vader is my year-end MVP. How about you, Scott?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And like we said, that promo at the end cinched it for me. With all these guys, who's out? The Johnny B. Badd's like, oh, look at these guys with Hogan. They all fucking hate him. And then Vader just comes in and just wrecks all of it. It's so awesome. He should have just beat the shit out of all those guys. Would have been great.
All right, now when we hit the mid-year, I believe both of you guys picked that Arn Regal match from Super Bowl as your match of the year. Did it hold up for you through the second half, or did anything eclipse it?
I tell you, man, that Austin Steamboat match at the Clash is pretty close. It's pretty close. I still love Arn Regal for best WCW match of the year, but I don't know, that Austin Steamboat match from the Clash is pretty close for me.
Well, I didn't love the Clash Arn Steamboat match, or I'm sorry, Steamboat Austin match nearly as much as I like the Bash match. So it has to either be that one or the Saturday night Regal versus Abyssco match, which we didn't review, but I hope you guys had a chance to see it. But that might be my other match of the year. I think Arn, Regal, and that match go 1A and 1B for me.
Yeah, I'm probably there with you, although I still love that first Vader Boss Man match at Spring Stampede as well.
So awesome. Yeah, I mean, those are such awesome, man. I mean, right, the last show, we were arguing about the minutia of who had the best match on a show, and by the end of the year, we're just like, please give
all the same answers.
Please give me a good match.
Yeah. The All right, so let me ask you this final question, and then we'll wrap up. Will, was WCW better for signing Hulk Hogan or worse?
Well, I mean, I guess...
I look at the whole picture, not just match quality, not everything. Business model, matches, program, everything. Were they better or worse off?
I'm just going to say, and I know some old school peers are going to hate me for this, I'm going to say they're better off because monetarily he brought the goods money-wise.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think they paid off his entire salary in like one pay-per-view. You know, just and Flair was right there. Plus, you got to think, as bad as 95 was for WCW and for WWF from a match quality-wise, 95 did see the debut of Nitro. They start beating Vince. Then the big heel turn leading to like one of the most profitable runs by any wrestling company ever before it all falls to shit. But still, you got to say they. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm saying all this stuff to build them up, and now I'm looking at the end picture was WCW went out of business because they were a horrible company. So, hey, who knows? You know, I'm going to say that, yes, for the next 4 years, it was absolutely worth it. And then after that, it didn't matter.
So. What do you think, Scott?
Oh, from a business perspective, how do you not sign them? I mean, there's an opening for you to take WCW, WWF's gravy train. You have to do it. You know, they had their moments where it caused a lot of problems quality-wise, but the fact remains is the guy was available, and he was going to bring incredible money to the company, and that's what they needed, and they did that. So a straight answer, was it smart to bring him in? The answer is yes, it is.
But, God, I wish I would have never had to sit through it. You know, that's, yeah. That's the thing. I mean, they had so many great talents there. ECW, they still could have picked all the talent from ECW that they wanted. I think eventually they could have done, you know, brought someone like Savage, a real worker in, right? So it's not like they couldn't pick great workers from WWF to come in to spark. And I think Savage would have created a spark as well.
And I think Sting got hosed. I still think Sting got hosed. The guy's the face of that company. Sorry to interrupt, Will. But that's the guy's the face of that company.
He got hosed, but he was never a draw. I mean, that's the problem. That's why the guy's not in Meltzer's Hall of Fame yet, because when you look at the numbers, he didn't draw. And they built him up about as good as you could build anyone up over, I don't know, the last 6 years. Well, I mean, I guess there was some really stupid booking involving Sting. But at the same time, man, I mean, he was still the guy that they promoted as the face of their company, right? I mean, at the very least, he was promoted as their face, and he couldn't draw, you know?
Yeah.
And Hogan comes in and breaks all kinds of drawing records. Well, what does that say about Sting as a draw, you know? So what do? You know, I mean, that's the only reason the guys, if Sting would have drawn in the early 90s, he'd already have been in Meltzer's Hall of Fame.
He needed a long title reign. And they never gave him one. He always lost like 2 months later.
Well, he was injured, and, you know, I mean, Sting wasn't, right? Like when they gave it to him in 90, he was already injured when they were going to give it to him before. I mean, the guy's just kind of like a bad luck bug, you know? And then he gets bit by the bug in 97. Everybody wants to see Sting Hogan. Oh, yeah. You know, the Crow's going to get his revenge. And then Sting comes out all flabby and fat. Doesn't even come from the ceiling and
flabby and fat.
That's what he did. He got it, well, compared to like what you expect to see him look like. And then Hogan beats his ass the entire match, and they have a horrible finish, and it makes him look like a chump. And man, I don't know.
Well, 97's a long ways away from where we are here.
But we're reflecting over the whole thing, you know, the overall picture. So I don't know. Hurts my heart.
Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up because we have taken quite the trek through the year of 1994. Hope you enjoyed this this epic odyssey. We want to thank Charles for joining us through the first half, and then the three of us here. Will, thank you for coming on and wrapping up the back half of the year. And maybe someday we'll do 1995.
I do want to go take some Prozac now. Sing me a song, Scott. Sing me a song.
Well, you can do it off air. You can sing some Billy Joel to each other. But we will go ahead and maybe we'll do 95 later this year or something if we can pull it together.
Oh, I don't
know. Yeah, come on. Well, we'll do it.
But well, with the network launch, we'll be able to go just batshit about everything. So that's going to be even better.
We're gonna do 22 podcasts, quit our jobs.
That's all we do now anyway. All right, let's wrap up. You can hear Will on his network podcast as well. Of course, Goodwill Wrestling, Wrestling with the Past, Wrestle Across America. And, of course, the WrestleMania Rewind series we have going on here. You can go back and listen to WrestleMania 7 that had myself and Will on there, too. Scott, we'll be back Wednesday night with Unforgiven 2001. And until then, Place to Be Nation, everyone have a great night. We'll talk to you Wednesday. Take care. Where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues away. Good night.